In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. It's good to be with you as we head toward Christmas and enjoy the journey together. Let me pray and we'll get started. Father, we honor you this morning for this day, for your grace that beams so brightly upon us. We bless and we honor your name. Thank you for the family gathered. Thank you that you've gathered with us. May we hear and heed your word today as our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Birth announcements are not new to our congregation. Last Sunday with the birth announcement of Stella Scaletta, that has made 9 births for our congregation within the year. And let me say that the girls outnumber the boys by 2-1. 6 girls, 3 boys. Huh? Well, Luke chapter 1 gives us 2 birth predictions. In last week's text, the word came to an aged priest who had an aged wife that there would have a son. And there were great things that were predicted about this son. Huh? He would be used of God in a very unique way. Would be filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Check it out, folks. No ultrasound, but God knew what was going on. Gender, destiny, all of that predicted beforehand. Huh? Promise was hard to believe. And the Lord had to do a little arm twisting for Zechariah to get him on board with his agenda. Nevertheless, the reluctant priest did what he needed to do. And Elizabeth conceived a child. No? Last week's text ended, you can see in chapter 1 and verse 24. Elizabeth was in her second trimester. 5 months into her pregnancy, she's in seclusion, perhaps a little stunned by the kindness of God, in that here was a woman who had been unable to bear, infertile, but God had removed the reproach, the shame of that situation, and here she was with child. Huh? Just think what the talk would be in our congregation if Shirley said she was expecting. An agent, people on AARP and Social Security, Medicare. Think of what the buzz would be, not only in the congregation, but in the family, maybe in the city. how that would land. Huh? But Elizabeth, there she was, perhaps embracing it all. Words not out quite yet, but it's on the way. Huh? But there's yet another birth prediction in the text today. We have one before us, one of those hold on to your seat kind of passages. There are several of those in Scripture. But this one is before us, and I pray that we would be able, with both head and heart, to be able to capture what's here. And perhaps with the momentum of this text, would be able to sort of navigate the season well that we have come to. Huh? Just take a look at what's before us. The first thing we see is Gabriel's mission. We see that in verses 1 through 26. Huh? It's the sixth month. That's the point of reference. And the point of reference is to Elizabeth's pregnancy. Gabriel has once again been sent on a mission by God. Then notice, check it out. Look where he is sent. Sent on a mission from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth. Huh? The dispatch from heaven is that he was to go to the lowly Galilean village of Nazareth. This contrasted in both with size and significance with Jerusalem, where he had been sent to before. Nazareth, off the beaten path, up there in Galilee of the nations, huh? Across the tracks kind of place, a place where the inhabitants were deemed to be second-class citizens when compared with inhabitants of Judea and Jerusalem. This, friends, was not on the north shore of Chicago. It wasn't the Gold Coast. Wasn't even Hyde Park, if you will. It's more like Pilsen or Woodlawn or Austin or Inglewood or Fort Heights or Altgill. That's the kind of place. Wow, and God is on, he has a maid there that he's identified, and it may not be even a place that you and I would want to live. You remember the saying, John chapter 1, verse 46, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Huh? But notice, not only the place he sent, not simply to a place, he sent there to a person, and we see Mary's profile there in verse 27, to a virgin. Gabriel was sent to a place, but more specifically to a person, and she was a virgin. The reference here is to an unmarried girl or woman, and Luke is careful to include this information in this verse. We see it twice here, don't we? The virgin betrothed, and we see then the virgin's name. She is promised in marriage, pledged in marriage. There has been an official ceremony that has brought them together. There's probably been perhaps an exchange of goods that were there. It's probably been a time set when they actually would live together as husband and wife. And this was so binding in that day that it would take a decree of divorce even to separate them. She's pledged in marriage to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the great Israelite King David. Her name in that day, it would be Miriam. We know her as Mary. So he came to her and greeted her with the words that we find in verse 28. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Huh? This particular greeting spoke of her as an object of God's special favor. Huh? His grace. Sovereignly, particularly selected by God for his favor. And at this part, we're in the text as far as what that might be, but not for long. Similar words, words that we hear in this particular text, that we hear an echo of them, I believe, back in Judges chapter 6. And let me just have you turn there with me. Judges chapter 6 in your Bibles, if you will. And we have there, the person that we know as Gideon. Look at verse 12, please, and I'm going to read through verse 18. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, and this is Gideon, saying to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." And he said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me." What's the point? In that Old Testament text, there was a person, small in his own eyes, who found favor with God. And the Lord was with him for a particular assignment. There the Lord revealed his plan for the rescue of the nation. There the Lord used one considered weak and insignificant as one who was a part of his plan. Huh? Gideon would not have been at the top of our list for an assignment that the Lord had given him, and neither would Mary. Huh? Just think about her. Here she is, probably a little beyond her mid-teens, but such an assignment. I mean, this is a person that we may have to do babysitting for us, but look at the magnitude of the assignment that was before her. The Lord in his grace and his wisdom had a plan, and this young Jewish maid of humble circumstances factored into it. And thus we see her response in verse 29. Huh? In Zechariah 1 and 12, in Luke 1 and 12, Zechariah was troubled when he saw Gabriel. Mary was even more perplexed, and notice what she was perplexed about. She was greatly troubled at the saying. She was greeted as a favored one and was told that the Lord is going to be with you. Huh? She was troubled at that particular saying. She was shocked. She was stunned. Why? Both the content and the ultimate source of them. Huh? God has graced you, is what he's saying, and God is with you. The word suggests that the Lord had something in his mind for Mary to do. And he had graciously chosen her for that, and that he was going to be with her in that process. Huh? So it seems like Gabriel's words were actually a prelude to this assignment that was going to be given. And Mary sort of understood this. Far from being a casual, empty greeting, Mary discerned the gravity and the weightiness of Gabriel's words that were spoken to her. And thus we see in verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Reiterated that. He called her by name, and how reassuring this was. God's favor was going to be her portion. That being the case, there was no need to fear. Huh? Gabriel uttered those reassuring words. How tender and sensitive and caring these words for God to this young maiden. Huh? A teenage maiden. A maiden. What? Amazing that God would do this in and through her. You needn't be afraid because of God's grace. Needn't be afraid because of God's favor. There's nothing to fear. Grace, friends, is a very comforting reality. Huh? That doesn't mean that what the Lord asks of us might be easy, but God's grace goes with God's assignment. Huh? His grace is sufficient indeed. And may each of us be reminded of that, even as Mary was reminded. The mission has taken Gabriel to the right place and has taken him to the right person. Notice, but in verses 31 through 33, we have Gabriel's message there. Huh? The message was that Mary was going to give birth to a special son. And if we listen closely to the message that Gabriel gives, we will hear both echoes and allusions to Old Testament texts that spoke of a promised one who was to come. These were prophetic promises that would have their fulfillment in the son that Mary would bear. Look at verse 31. Huh? You shall be a mother. You're going to be a mother, in essence, is what is said. And you're going to have a son. Notice what we see there. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Mary, you're going to be a mom. You're going to call the son Joshua, Jesus as we know it. Huh? And this, friends, would be a fulfillment of what we have in the Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 7 and 14. So there's a sense in which there's a prophetic, you might say, checklist. And here we have Isaiah 7:14. You needn't turn to it. But therefore the Lord himself shall be with you and give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Huh? A fulfillment of that. Speaks of a virgin being with son, being born of a woman, but he's Mary's son. Isaiah 7:14, check it off, if you will. Notice verse 32. Huh? Mary, your son, will also be known as the Son of the Most High. John, chapter 1 of Luke, verse 76, he's going to be the prophet of the Most High. But Mary, your son, is going to be the Son of the Most High. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Huh? Mary's son would in a very unique way share the very nature of God. Huh? That's what it means to be a son of, to share the nature of. Huh? Mary's son, God's son. Huh? But Mary, you have a son. Your son will be called the Son of God, but most High, he will also be the son of David and will inherit David's throne. Again, here we go. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I will give you rest from all your enemies. God's word to David. Fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, and you shall come from who shall come from your body. I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Isaiah 7:14, check, huh? 2 Samuel 7:11 through 13, check, huh? He fulfilled that. Also, Psalm 89 and 132 would go along with that. Look at verse 33, which speaks about the scope and the duration of Mary's son's rule. That's what comes into view there. The rule will be comprehensive and enduring. Huh? His would be an eternal rule. Isaiah 9 and 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Another check. God's promises of old would find their fulfillment in the one that Mary was going to bring into this world. That was the essence of Gabriel's message that he gave to this Jewish maid on that day. Huh? What would be the logical question that would come from that? Mary asked that in verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Unlike Zechariah, she doesn't ask for a sign based on his disbelief or his unbelief. She asks for an explanation of the process. In other words, how is this going to happen? How is this going to be? How is this going to be accomplished, after all, by her own admission in verse 34. She is a virgin. Huh? Regarding Mary's conception, we see in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Huh? It would not be by normal means, huh? Neither would it be after the order of pagan myth and fancy, where gods would cohabit with humans in sexual activity. Not so. Through God's dynamic creative power, huh, she would conceive in her womb and would bear a son. Huh? Could not the one who spoke the worlds into existence, and in science and faith Sunday school, you see how big and vast this world and universe actually is, all the work of God. Could not the one who designed human anatomy create life in the womb? Lo, he despised not the virgin's womb. Huh? God was going to do it in his own way, by his own power, and life would be implanted in the womb of this virgin girl. Huh? Notice the Trinitarian dimensions of the verse. You see it there in verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child to be born, he will be the very Son of God. Huh? How would the humanly impossible thing, how it's going to be accomplished? It's not going to be done by anything less than the power of the Lord God himself. Huh? Conception would be by the Most High. Huh? The essence of Gabriel's message was that God's promises of old would find their fulfillment in Mary, in the child that Mary was going to bring into the world. Huh? And here it was that was told her even before he was conceived. Luke takes us beyond the birth and beyond the conception to the announcement that Gabriel actually gave. And this helps us, friends, to be assured in our faith based on this additional information that Luke brings to the table. Huh? He does so by allowing us to see this sacred scene where Gabriel is sent from God to Mary with these very words. Oh, what a precious picture and what a precious scene this is that you and I get a glimpse into and God's people down through the years. But guess what? Mary gets a bonus word, if you will, in verses 36 and 37. Huh? Gabriel lets Mary in on something that was not widespread information. Huh? But this is information that would confirm that the God of heaven indeed was up to something in the world. Huh? Your older relative, Elizabeth, huh? She's with child. You remember Elizabeth, don't you? She's the barren one. She's the one within the family. You know, when, you know, we all come to the family gatherings and everybody's with your children. Yeah, you know, she's the one that didn't have any children. Yeah, she is with child. Yeah, Elizabeth, the one unable to bear. That one, huh? Gabriel's words here mirror what we hear in Genesis chapter 18 and 14, where it was announced that Sarah was going to have a baby. Huh? And it gives us this reminder that reverberates down from Abraham's time to Mary's time to us and with somewhat resounding clarity. What is this? With God, huh? Nothing will be impossible. Again, that's the word. We hear that in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. But impossible is not in the very vocabulary of God. Huh? His capacity. I mean, he doesn't know inability. He has full-blown capacity, huh? Through his might and power. State it positively, and I like to state it positively. All things are possible with God. And again, he lets her in on this thing that has happened within her own family, again, to help her in her own belief. Huh? The message was timely for Mary, and it is timeless for us. With God, all things are possible, huh? Gabriel had delivered the message that enables us to see Mary's son was indeed God's son. And in that process, a very cluster of Old Testament promises are fulfilled in that, huh? And this message is given to this young maiden who had been favored by God. It is that she is presented with an agreement, huh? The likes of which there's never been in the world. How would she respond to this, huh? Would she co-sign what God was doing? Would she be on board with what the very God of heaven was doing in the world? Huh? Saying, co-signing what God co-signs in this world is somewhat of a dangerous thing to do. Saying yes to God can be risky business. Huh? Rather than simplifying life, saying yes to God really can complicate life for you and me. Rather than ironing the wrinkles out of life, it can help put a lot of wrinkles in life as we get on board with what God is doing. Huh? Regarding Mary, here you have a young maiden who is crossing the threshold into womanhood. She's young and inexperienced. Again, she was the one that was given the promise that she was going to bear the promised deliverer. Prophecy and history had all pointed to this particular day. And so here she is. How would she respond? Look at her response in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Huh? Let it be to me. In other words, she's saying yes to the Lord. Huh? There are people this season who have to consider, what does the perfect Christmas look like? From this world's perspective, what will it be like? Huh? Will it be with the joy of surrender and submission? Huh? For some people, it will not be. Huh? But those who perhaps say yes and submit to God, even in the midst of the messiness and the minuses of life, again, we see Mary, she did that and provides a great. Her example is so instructive for you and me. I think of a song that, one of my favorite songs, that speaks about availability. And that's what Mary was. She was available to God, yielding herself to him for his purposes in the world. Huh? "You gave me my hands," the song says, "to reach out to man. To show him your love and your perfect plan. You gave me my ears. I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cries of sinners, but can I wipe away their tears? You gave me my voice to speak your word, to sing all your praises to those who've never heard. But with my eyes, I see a need for more availability. I hear the hearts have been broken. So many people to be free." But here's the chorus. And this is what it says. And this is in essence what Mary said. "Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way. And enable me to say, my storage is empty. And I am available to you." In essence, that is what Mary said. Huh? It's what you might even call Christmas surrender. A yielding of her heart, a yielding of her life for God and for his purposes in the world. Huh? Yes, Lord, doesn't guarantee ease. Sometime it indefinitely means pain. Those risky assignments in life under the superintendence of the Almighty are just right for those who put their faith in him. Huh? How we labor so we don't have to bear shame and reproach. We want so much for our faith to be dressed in the fashionable garb of this world. But sometimes God asks us to do the unthinkable. He asks us to do the unimaginable. Huh? While this situation is quite unique, and will never be repeated again, It's not unlike the Lord to ask his servants to do things that would put us at risk in the eyes of the world. And that's what we have here. And Mary said, Lord, I'm in. I can co-sign that, Lord. It may not seem right or glamorous in the eyes of the world. But Lord, I'm in. I'm in. I am with you. I'm on board with what you are doing. While this great passage enables us to see the work of the Most High to bring his son into the world, the side benefit of what we see here is that the heavenly Gabriel and earthly Mary servants were sovereignly chosen by God to participate in this grand initiative. Huh? Mary was God's choice, and her response vindicates God's gracious choice of her. Huh? She responded. She said yes. And friends, even today, as we continue our journey in this season, self-surrender is a fitting response to God's grace. Huh? Self-surrender for you and me is a fitting response to God's grace. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to you. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, here's my heart. Lord, take it and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. Not only seal it for your courts above, Lord, but seal it for your purposes in and through me, in and through us, in this world. Huh? Self-surrender, friends, is a fitting response to the grace of God. And I would pray that as we think about what's in our capacity, huh? On the one hand, we may not have gifts, lifts that are big and gift desires that are big, but what's one thing that you do have? You and I, who have been recipients of God's grace through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, what's our response to that? What do you have to give? Is your response comparable to what we see here? I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Oh, wow, just think about that. She's yielding herself. She's saying yes to God. What would be your response today to God's grace as one who has received his grace in and through Christ? I pray that you would ponder that self-surrender is indeed a fitting response. May that characterize us as we continue our march in this season. Let me pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this snapshot that we see, Lord, where these Old Testament promises are alluded to, and it's Mary's son, the one that would come from her and come through her, oh God, that would step into them and fulfill them. And Mary said yes to you in that way. I pray, oh God, that those of us who know you and love you, who have been recipients of your grace, Lord, would likewise respond, Lord, with an attitude and lives and hearts of self-surrender. May that be our posture. May it be so for each one of us this day. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.